play Let It Go.
Now playing Let There Be Love. Let there be you. Let there be me.
Yeah.
You're always going to have
Siri,
that.
Hate you. I hate you, Siri.
I'm doing my best.
It's still God, playing that yeah. song. This is episode 100 on October 3rd, 2014.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and anything else that might jump into our minds. I am Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Mark Sadowski. And monitoring our chat room on Alpha Geek Radio, we have Shannon Guy helping us producing the show. And
hello.
Hey.
And come join me.
Join the fun. And episode 100, guys.
Yes.
And we have planned absolutely nothing.
No, we have a show.
Well, we got that.
So how are you guys doing? Has anybody been doing any iPhone photography lately? Let's start with you, Matt.
Let's see. Since we last talked, I'm going to go with no.
Anything planned?
Anything planned? I don't know. That's actually not true. I actually last weekend I had the opportunity to do quite a bit of iPhone photography. Basically just kind of playing with the HDR apps, which all have been updated since then. So now I'm really jonesing to get out and play with them again.
Very good.
Actually, one thing that I did use quite a bit that I'm really super duper digging is in, I believe it's in Camera Plus, the macro. It really enables like close focusing.
Oh, we lost you there for a second.
Oh, say okay. The macro function. Uh-oh. I think we lost Matt.
Now I think I lost everybody.
No, yeah, photos.
Okay. That was weird.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Skype, for yes. episode 100. Brought
exactly.
to you by the jerks that can't.
At Microsoft.
And Microsoft, makers of the oh-so-wonderful Windows phone that all three people have.
So you were saying, Matt, start from the beginning.
No, let's not start from the beginning because it's going to cut out.
No,
he's
no,
been
no,
using
no, no.
the macro function in Camera Plus, and it's been doing very well for him.
The end.
Everybody go get Camera Plus if you don't already have it. I can't imagine how you don't have it. It's one of the first and probably one of the best camera apps out there on the market.
And is that the good Camera Plus with the plus sign, or is it camera with the PLUS?
This is the one developed by TapTapTap.
Yeah. Is that a serious question, Joe? Why would I use anything?
Well, no, that's for new listeners who maybe don't know what camera, that there are two Camera Pluses out there.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
It was a valid question. I will approve it.
All right. What about
you? Motion carried.
What about you, Mark?
I have been doing a lot of testing still with the Moment lens, and I'm having a great time with it. I've encountered two problems so far. One problem, and I think this is a strictly Mark Sadowski problem, where the way the Moment lens attaches to the phone is that you have this little metal strip that sticks to the back of your iPhone, and it fits right over the lens, and it's actually a really, really nice snug fit, and the lens just pops in there really nicely, very secure. My problem is that when I don't have the lens on and I put it in my pocket, the area inside the lens nodule gets filled with dust. Yeah. Lots and lots of dust. I guess I have very exfoliating pockets for some reason.
Scotch tape. Come on, scotch tape.
Yeah, because that's what I want to put over my lens.
No, I'm just kidding. Don't ever put scotch tape over your lens.
You can put it over the flash, but not the lens. So it's been really pain in the butt to clean that out, because it's a very small area to use a Q-tip in, if I happen to have a Q-tip. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is that using the telephoto lens, I get this weird distortion. And this distortion only happens when I'm photographing the ocean. Don't know. I haven't figured out a correlation. None of this makes sense.
What?
Yeah. I showed you earlier, Matt. Actually, last week, Matt, I showed you the photo of the
sailboat. I don't get it. I don't understand why it's doing that for you.
Having the foggiest. And when I was photographing a wedding the day before showing the sailboat, I had taken a picture of a yacht that was in Gloucester. Same problem. Only ocean water. I have no idea why. I have no doubt I'm doing something wrong, but I can't figure out for the life of me what that is. So I am still testing. It's still a lot of fun. And the one other problem that I encountered is that it was a pain in the rear to take that metal plate off of my iPhone. I am now buying iPhone 6. That is, I've switched from AT&T to T-Mobile. So long to my grandfathered unlimited plan. See ya, AT&T.
Which you would eventually have lost.
They really didn't have it to begin with. It's once you reach a certain threshold, they throttle you big time. So I'm going to T-Mobile and picked up their unlimited plan to see how well that goes. And in doing so, I was able to upgrade to the iPhone 6, which should be coming soon, I hope. I'm really, really itching for a new iPhone. And in the meantime, I ordered a Moment Lens mount for my iPad mini. And I figure I'd get that before I get the iPhone 6. And so I'm going to continue my testing with that. And then eventually I will make my official review on the podcast and the website itself. And then I have to say au revoir to the lens and send them back.
Very good.
No, that's a sad moment for me. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. I've been also testing out lots and lots of apps. Dear God in heaven, they've been coming out of the woodworks. It's like all new apps all over again. I'm with Matt that, you know, I've been picking up the old HDR apps, and they've completely been remade, and it's like night and day. These manual functions are just incredible. It's not a golden age for iPhone photography again. Maybe a silver age.
How about
it's a renaissance.
A gold-plated age.
I'm not getting that. I don't even have
or
an appropriate
deoxidized age.
Oh, speaking of corny stuff. Guys, guess what I got?
Okay, corny. That could be anything.
All right, follow me here. This is something that we often make fun of. I often make fun of that it burns my hand.
I'm lost.
A Lytro camera?
Close. I like where your head's at. Pull it back.
Is it? Hold on. Oh. Give me one more guess. Is it that camera that looks like the Instagram?
No, I know what it is. It's the Galaxy S2.
Bingo, even though I told you earlier today.
No, you told me yesterday, but yesterday. 2 days ago. Yeah.
So I'm at my dad's house, and he shows me this phone. He's like, yeah, it's an Android phone. I don't know if I switched to that. I'm like, yeah, don't do that. And he's like, yeah, I was thinking about sending it to Poland because, you know, we're Polish and we send them our stuff. They don't even say hi anymore. They say, do you have any Apple stuff? contraband. Anyway, so he had this Android phone that he got from his buddy. He said that it was never used. And, you know, he just gave it to him. And I'm like, can I borrow that for a week? So it's a Galaxy S2 for the Sprint network. The phone part obviously isn't working. But I've been playing around with the camera app. I've been playing around with the operating system. And it's weird. It's like a bizarro world of iPhone. And I don't know if I'm going to do like my review on it. I don't think it's a fair review. It is a Galaxy S2 and they're up to the 5 now. That's kind of like an Android person going back to the
3GS.
To the 3GS and doing a review on that. So I don't think it's a fair review, but it's kind of interesting to see the other side of the world and seeing how they operate things. And I got to say, I'm never switching. It's just too different for me. And I don't particularly like it. It's kind of ugly. So to all those that use Android out there that are somehow listening to the show, nothing personal. It's just your interface looks like crap. At least it did back then. I can't speak to it now.
I read an article. I'll have to go back and find it where they were comparing the S5 with the iPhone 6 and the HTC One, and you know, taking the camera functions through their paces to see which one it was, you know, better. But this was on iMore, and I know that the lady who did it is a Apple fan, so you kind of have to, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but you know,
lots of grains of salt. In fact, probably bring in a pepper shaker there too.
Yeah,
it was very off base. I didn't like it at all, that review, and I don't know if this happened on purpose, but if you look at the photos,
yeah,
the way she had them arranged, she had the iPhone photo in the middle,
yep,
and the two others on either side.
Yep,
the iPhone photo was always bigger, thicker. And very, very prominent, whereas the other two were kind of stuck on the side. It's as though they were shrunk down a little bit. And
well, I know. I think it was just the way they were cropped.
Sure, they were.
But you have to take it with a grain of salt because, you know, she is an Apple fan. The images, I have to say, weren't too far off in all the categories. From doing macro to regular shots to panoramic to, you know, there were some differences that you can see. But, you know, where we've come these years since cell phones first started taking pictures, we've come a long way, not only in Apple, but with all the different carriers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was interesting to read, but I have to say, anybody who is who's good at photography can take any of these and get a great image out of them.
Absolutely. Oh, and as a further disclaimer, when I said that the OS on the Galaxy S2 looked like crap, I'm sure if I looked at the iPhone 3GS, I'd probably say that looked like crap right now.
It's still a beautiful phone. What are you talking about? I still use it.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You use the 3GS still?
Yeah.
That was my least favorite phone. The 3G and the 3GS were like the dark ages.
The 3G was definitely, but the 3GS was a lot better.
Nah.
And now, when the 4G came out, it was a big difference.
It was a huge difference, night and day. It went from iPhone, the very first iPhone looked like a work of art. Then they did the plastic back, which I understand why they did that, because they needed actual reception on the phone.
Yeah.
Who knew? But anyway, that plastic back I hated that plastic back. I thought it was just a piece of crap.
Well, it was in a case. Who cares?
Nah, I never used a case back then.
Yeah.
Then the iPhone 4 comes out, and it's
beautiful.
Like manna from the gods. Hallelujah. It's like that's when the revolution started, as far as I'm concerned. And
I do have to agree. I do like the 3GS because it was my first iPhone, and I was able to, you know, take it and get some, you know, good shots with it. But I have to say, you know, my latest one right now is the 5C, and I'm just amazed on how far it's come along. And you know, it's only going to get better. Now it's going to be, you know, how's the speed? What are the different, you know, functions that Apple or the developers are going to come up with to make, you know, putting images together or video easier? And so now it's, you know, because this is what, the third or fourth variation with the same sensor size?
Same sensor size, but not the same sensor. I think right. There's been improvements. Yeah. I'm actually very curious to see how well the iPad sensors get from here on in, because
they have to get better.
Yeah, and here's why I say that. Apps like 645 Pro, which are really, really good, just seem awfully cluttered at least with my iPhone 5S. I don't know how they'll be on the 6. I'll let you know when I get it. But it seems like it belongs on an iPad, and I just want to give that a try once I get the lens mount and do the moment lens testing. I'm going to use the 645 Pro for that. And I don't know. I just think there could be more stuff done, at least with the iPad mini. I know people tend to balk at seeing a big, huge tablet taking photos. But you know what? I think with the proper camouflage, you can make it look like a medium format or large format camera.
Exactly. Just get a big wooden tripod, a box to put the iPad on, and some fake large lens on the Apple symbol, and there you go.
Oh my God! Here's what we got to do. I know what we're going to do. And I probably need Maude Bird on this, because he's our woodworking expert on the show. I am going to create a billows for the iPad. So what's going to happen is the iPad is going to be on the billows part, like inside, and the frame, it will just be a big opening, so that not only will the iPad be further inside and then, you know, so it can take a shot, but it'll also be shaded, and I won't have to worry about anything. And it's a whole lot.
You don't want somebody to see you using an iPad as a camera.
Exactly. I have to properly camouflage this thing, and do that. That'd be funny, though. I'm doing this.
Oh,
I'm
absolutely
going to be laughed at, but it's worth it.
No, that yeah. Well, speaking of iPhone 6, I actually saw my first one in the wild.
Sweet.
And I was kind of impressed. You know, the size was, to me, took a little bit getting used to, but it wasn't as big as I thought it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
My boss had just gotten his, and so when I went into his office, he's like, "Here, look." I'm like, "Oh, is this the new 6? He goes, "Yeah."
And so he whipped it out and showed it to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's all about, you know, whipping it out and showing. He was showing it to me. I said, "So have you used the new camera functions?" And he goes, "What new camera functions?" I'm like, "All right, sit down." And so I showed him how to set and adjust for the exposure. And then I said, "So have you tried the slow motion yet?" He goes, "What slow motion?" Mm-hmm. So for the next 20 minutes, we got to play with his slow motion camera. And we actually had a group of guys in the warehouse huddled around. We did everything from dropping pens to flicking quarters on a table to see how it looked in slow motion. I didn't get into it too much to see what I think we did it all at 120 frames per second. I did not see how, you know, I didn't have it in my hand long enough to see how it would be able to do 240 frames per second, but it was, he got a kick out of it. So I know this weekend he'll be playing with that. I think he was going to go out in the backyard and start shooting things and using the slow motion camera. But it was pretty cool. I do have to say that now I'm kind of on the fence on whether to get the 5S or the 6. We'll see. I have till December to figure that out.
I think you should get the 6.
Yeah. We'll see. So.
So what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've just been playing with the camera functions. Actually, my work phone is the 5C, so I've been using that to take some images with. I've been kind of putting my 4S to the side, and it's starting to feel slow and old. The button on top's not working, so I've been playing more with the 5C, and I do have to say, you know, as much as we kind of made fun of it, it's a great camera phone.
Yeah.
I have to say, I've been telling some people who are interested in getting into iPhones to go ahead and just, you know, start with the 5C and, you know, work their way with it. It's a, you know, it's lighter, it's bigger than the 4S. And for an entry-level iPhone right now, what's the entry level? It's really good. So if you're listening to this and you're on the fence on getting an iPhone, try out the 5C. Or try out a friend's iPhone that you have. It's pretty good.
Well, you rather lucked out on the 5C because you were able to still get the 16-gig version.
Yes.
I would say
probably go for the 5S because the 5C right now, you'll only be able to get it in the 8 gigabyte, which in reality is probably 4. There's not a whole lot you're going to be able to do on an 8 gigabyte iPhone.
You might be able to find one still for a 16 gig outside of Apple. Like if you go to a Best Buy or something,
yeah,
you might
have those in stock.
Yeah.
So, you know, call around, see if you can find one that is more than 8 gigabyte. If not, I recommend paying the $99 with contract and going with the 5S because that is a great phone.
Yeah.
I mean, the 4S is still a great phone, but it's starting to get long in the tooth. And I don't know if Apple did this on purpose, but when I uploaded iOS 8, the battery seems to be draining a lot faster during the day than it used to. Right now, it's past 20% left on my, less than 20% on my phone, where typically about this time of night, it's about 9:30, 10 o'clock, I'm usually around 50% with an external case battery. So I would, if you have the 4S, I would recommend just leaving it with iOS 7 because eventually you'll end up upgrading and getting iOS 8. That's just my experience with it. I'm actually debating right now on whether to revert it back to 7.
Can you even revert it?
Some people have. I think that's done through iTunes. You can't go, there's no feature on the phone itself to revert back, but I'm wondering if a previous backup will revert it back to iOS 7.
Interesting.
I'll have to look into that. So, but I have, I'm just kind of taking the 5S through its paces a little bit. I haven't done a project with it yet, but that, that's not, I actually have a thing with work that I'm going to be doing that I'm going to utilize it, putting together a project and doing a presentation, hopefully this next week. So nice. I'll get to play around with it. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and move into our news.
All righty, and I have that totally geared up and ready to go.
News team, assemble!
All right, let's talk about some updates. Do you guys have any updates you want to talk about? Start with you, Matt.
Yeah, there's a few updates from this past week that are definitely worth mentioning. Probably one of the ones that I thought was the coolest is an app that we've mentioned it before. It's a time lapse app. It's called Lapsit or Lapsit Pro. And in their latest update, where they kind of make full use of iOS 8 and have more or less optimized the app for the new iPhones, they have incorporated manual controls into their app. So that nice. Seems to be the big thing that everyone's doing. Some of the other cool things in the app is you could actually so you shoot your time lapse, and then when you render it and play it, you can actually render it and play it backwards. So, you know, you can do some pretty creative things with that. There's over 40 new effect filters, which is, I don't know. I mean, even if they're cheesy, that's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
40 new filters, you know, gives you a lot of new creative things to play with. And then the thing that I thought was just really, really cool is, I'll just read directly from the description in the app. It's zooming support, including zoom ramping over time. And basically what that is, you can go into a setting when you're going to start a new time lapse, and basically there's a slider for zooming in and out, and you can tell it at the beginning of the time lapse, I want it to be zoomed this amount. So wherever you want the slider to be, zoomed in, zoomed out, somewhere in the middle, whatever you want to do. And then you set where you want that slider to be at the end of the time lapse.
Wow.
And so then over the course of the time lapse, it will actually digitally zoom in or out, whichever way you want it to go. So that is pretty cool. So that really gives your time lapse kind of a more professional look, or at least it could anyway.
And if you had a, what are those called? The sliders?
Yeah. So if you add a panning effect plus the zoom, you know, then you're full blown Ken Burns.
Nice.
So moving on, another app that got a pretty significant update this past week is one of my all time favorites, True HDR. And probably the most notable thing that they've included in this new update is three exposure capture.
Like bracketing?
Yeah. So previously, True HDR combined data from two images, like an underexposed and overexposed. True HDR is doing three exposures now. And that's supposed to give you a little bit better dynamic range. And you also have the ability to control, I guess you could call it, the amount of exposure value between those three bracketed pictures.
That was awesome.
So when you open the app, the default is, you would call it 3EV. So you would have an exposure value of -3, which would be underexposed, and then your 0, which would be your proper exposure, and then a plus 3, which would be overexposed, but you can slide up to an exposure value of plus or minus 6. Wow. And the only thing that I don't like about the slider is that you can't do the under and over exposures individually. However you slide, you kind of can.
if you touch the middle, you could slide that back and forth.
So you can have a different exposure value on each side of 0.
Yeah, you don't have to have 0 as the center.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, all right, I get what you're saying, but it's still technically the same amount of... Okay.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that's cool. And the nice thing about that is there's actually a histogram included now.
Yeah, I see.
So when you're pointing your camera, you're seeing if the histogram shows that, you know, it's over or underexposed, then you could, like Mark said, start at the 0 and slide whichever direction to get that histogram centered, and then your over and under exposures are going to give you a better dynamic range.
And yeah. How fast does it take the images of all three?
It's nearly instantaneous.
Nice.
The old version, you know, you would hit your shutter button and it would kind of analyze the scene, and you'd see it go bright and dark and everything, and then it would click, take a picture, and then it would click again, and take the second picture. And this was part of the reason why I think I had so much trouble with this app getting a photo where the images lined up correctly. It's actually part of the reason I switched to Vivid HDR, because Vivid was like so fast and I never get an image that's like blurry or ghosted. But I have played with True HDR a little bit today, and you only hear the shutter go one time.
Nice.
But it's apparently taking all three images, which is pretty cool. It's definitely much, much faster.
Have they been able to, I've never used this this one before. I've only used Pro HDR. How does the image look? Does it have any haloing from the merging?
No, it actually looks really natural. It was actually one of the reasons I switched to True HDR from Pro HDR. I thought Pro HDR is a good app, but you could definitely tell that it's got that kind of fake HDR look.
Yeah.
And it was hard to kind of tone it down. But True HDR, I always thought the images looked really natural. And if you want to have that kind of off the wall HDR, like, you know, hyper dynamic range kind of look, then they have filters within the app that will certainly do that for you. Yeah. But I think it does a good job, and I even think their little editing sliders, like for saturation and contrast and stuff, I even think that those are great, and I usually edit the image mostly right within the app and then do a little bit of fine tuning in Snapseed or something like that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so definitely one I hope to play with a bit more this coming weekend. And now let's talk about what I think is probably the coolest update of the week. 645 Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, we touched on it earlier, but what's the deal here?
All right, well, 645 Pro has, just like every other camera app, they've added all the manual functions. So you have focus and shutter speed and ISO. You could set those all manually. They have a dial in the bottom right-hand corner of the app.
Yeah.
That is, it's almost like a dial that you would see on top of a, like an SLR, where you can have full auto mode or you could set it to shutter priority mode. There's a portrait mode. It's pretty cool. And for instance, if you put it in portrait mode or ISO mode, you get these little things on the bottom of the screen. You'll have like a S with a plus or minus. And if you click on those, then you will raise or lower the shutter speed. And then there's also a zero with a plus or minus. And what that's doing is that's changing the exposure value in third stop increments.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome. And so if you set your the dial to shutter priority, which means basically you want to use a particular shutter speed, then if you change your exposure value, it's going to change the ISO.
Right.
Right? Because the iPhone has a fixed aperture, so it could never change the aperture. But still, that's pretty darn cool. And they have manual focus, which at first I didn't understand it until I really kind of got sort of like close up and isolated a subject so I could actually see what it's doing.
Yeah.
Basically, if you run your finger from up and down is actually the best way to do it. If you run it up and down on the screen, you'll see a little a bar pop up at the top of the screen, and it'll either fill or unfill with a light gray color.
Yeah.
And that's showing you your focus, if it's focusing out or focusing in. And it actually has like kind of a lot of the mirrorless cameras on the market nowadays. It has focus peaking.
Yes.
So when your object comes into focus, you'll see white outlines along the edges kind of pop up. And I haven't really gotten a chance to see if you could change the color. I think it would be helpful if you could switch it to like red or yellow or something. Because depending on your subject, sometimes the white outlines are hard to see. But another cool thing is that you could set it so that when you're manually focusing, the image zooms in so that you're better able to see if you're in focus or not. So those are the big things, I think, with 645. And I haven't used this app in kind of a while. Mark, you mentioned just a little bit ago that you feel like it's a really cluttered app. There's a lot going on the screen.
Yeah, I just downloaded it onto my iPad, and it's much better.
Yeah, and that's actually probably one of the reasons why I didn't really use it. But, you know, there's a display button, and you could hit that, and you could have as much or as little information on the screen as you want. And then, you know, it's got all these different film modes, which are actually really cool. I think they look really good. And then there's, you know, different filters and all the filters. It's not like, I don't know, like Instagram, you know, where it's trying to be like, you know, these old analog, you know, cheesy effects. This is like filters that you would have used back in the day when you were shooting film. You know, so color filters for your black and white photography and, you know, color graduated filters and neutral density filters and stuff like that. So I think they've done a good job of making this app seem as close as humanly possible to shooting a film camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah, I have the Pure Shot made by the same guys, but they haven't updated it yet. So,
they have not, but expect that update to come pretty soon, though. And yeah. I would imagine that the features will be extremely similar to this one.
So I re-downloaded it, the 645 Pro.
Yeah, it's definitely an app that will see much use this coming weekend.
That's great. So, do you have any more? Or is that good for right now?
I think that's good for now.
Okay. If you're looking for these, go to the App Store on your phone. The Labsit. Let me click on it. Okay, Labsit is $199 in the App Store. True HDR is $199, and 645 Pro is $399. So not bad for great camera options that you have for your iPhone. Very good. You got any thoughts on that, Mark? Anything you want to bring up?
Matt did a sweet job that I don't have to.
Yeah. very good. And we'll keep mentioning updates, because I don't keep every single app that I've purchased on my phone. I don't have the space for it, but Matt, has a ton of apps and he gets all the updates. So every once in a while I'll be like, "Oh, you know what? I should get that one back on my phone." And reintroduce myself to it. And so we're going to try and do this as much as possible. There'll probably be some apps that Matt doesn't have that I'll have an update on, and same thing with Mark. If you guys have an app that you like, send us a note. Let us know what you're using and why you love it, and we'll look at it and mention it on the show. Before we move on, Matt, do you want to mention a little bit about the editing that you were talking about last show? Editing the images?
Oh, yeah. So in the last episode, we were talking about adding extensions in the native Photos app. And I think I explained, how to do that and everything. And I was talking about when you open one of these one of the apps that is an extension within the Photos app, you make your edit, and when you save it, you've basically edited your original, so you can't go back. And I was saying, be careful, make sure that the edit that you do, that you really like it. Well, it turns out that I misspoke. It is true that you're still editing your original photo. However, let's say you save it and you're like, you know what? Dang it. I really don't like that. You can go back into your edit screen, and down at the bottom in red letters, you'll see the word revert.
Yeah.
If you click on revert, and then another screen will pop up and it'll say revert to original, and I think the other option is cancel. If you click revert to original, you'll have your original photo back.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I was overjoyed when I found that, because I had a photo of my son that I really messed up, and it was an awesome picture, and I was really bummed out about it. And that just made me ecstatic. So I apologize for the misinformation. I will try not to let it happen again.
Yeah. I don't think any of us get any of this right. But I do want to mention that Shayna Shulman had left a comment on our last episode on our website. And she had brought up the fact that the images aren't permanent. You can always go back to the original. And she actually left us a link, which I will put in to this week's show notes, so that you can actually go through and read how to edit photos on your iPhone without using the outside apps. So, and if you guys want to, let us know about things, go to our website and leave a comment on the episode and we'll get them. We even get ones like from Fred Zedler, and he just says thanks you guys for the episode. Said next episode is 100, which is this one, And he said, greetings from Holland. So, you know, you can leave a comment, just say hi, or, you know, tell us we're terrible. We don't care. We'll read it. And, you know, and if you have something interesting to bring up, we'll read it on the show. So, all right, let's go ahead and move into post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
Yay.
Oh, just before we go on, if I'm going to get another email saying, you stop making fun of Android, you blah, 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 know that I'm doing it purposely to get a rise out of you guys, and and all you're doing is just adding to my entertainment.
Yeah, fueling the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind before you angrily do this, send a message. You know what? The reason why I bring that up is there was a conversation on one of my Facebook feeds. It's one of my friends who is an Android user. She asked what would be a good phone to switch to, because she had that Galaxy S3 and she was upgrading. She didn't know whether she wants to go iPhone or if she wanted to go if she wanted to just go, you know, another Android phone. Yeah. So I told her, I'm like, look, I am one of the hosts of a iPhone photography podcast, and my professional opinion is to go into an Apple store and then just give it a try. Just the phones that you want to try, just go into the stores and give it a try. I don't know if HTC has any working demos or anything like that, but, you know, she's already familiar with Android, but if she's thinking about going iPhone, just go into a store and try it. And if you like it, great. If not, great.
It's not going to hurt your feelings.
Yeah. And I thought that was probably a reasonable thing to say. Until the other replies came in. And what followed, if I were to paint a picture of this, would be thousands of angry bees telling me to F off and just showing
Apple their lover.
Yeah, it's... Have you ever seen people argue over politics? How could you vote for them? Get out, get out, get the F out. You know, it's that kind of
you mean animosity. There's that much of a divide?
I saw so much stink that I really looked down to check to see if I soiled myself. That's how bad it was. It was – people would – now, here's the funny thing. People were complaining about how bad the iPhone was, that it's getting nothing but negative reviews in the press.
And they're not iPhone users.
It's being reviewed poorly to the point where I'm like, where are you reading the negative reviews?
Yeah.
And then they bring up that stupid Ben Gate thing. I'm like, okay.
The fake controversy.
It's the manufactured controversy. No, I'm not going to argue the merits. You know, there are some legitimate things to this, but as far as like the actual problem, I think it's being blown way out of proportion. And, I mean, Christ almighty, Apple is only selling, like, what, 10 billion trillion versions of this. Oh, what are they going to do? But just seeing this kind of, this anger, like, it's genuine anger. And I'm not just reading between the lines here trying to, you know, I'm imagining anger here. These are people that are literally just swearing at iPhones. And I couldn't tell if people were actually offering advice at this point or if they were just having a moment of therapy.
I was going
to
say.
I don't know what Apple has done to them.
is this a tell to say maybe there's some envy? Because, okay.
No, I don't think so.
If you use one or the other, there's really no reason to have vitriol against the other because you have what you have, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, let's face it. I mean, when you have an inferior product, no, I'm kidding. I'm not going to add to that one yet again.
Gasoline. No,
but, yeah. There you go.
No, and we probably have a number of Samsung or HTC users that listen to our show.
Let's not jump to conclusions now.
Well, okay, one. But it's, you know, this is a platform that we use that we know the best. I can't vouch for anything that Android has because I don't use it. But at the same time, I'm not going to discount the type of phone that they have just because it is Android. I would say what I like about iPhone and give them something to think about. Whether or not they go for it is really has nothing to do with me.
Okay.
I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Let me poke the flaws in your argument.
Okay.
You're using common sense and logic.
I have been accused of that, yeah.
Whereas these people were, I'm imagining that they were foaming at the mouth, and what's the word that I'm trying to think of when people back in the old days grabbed pitchforks and torches and lynch mob? Yeah, yeah. That's the one.
There you go.
I was imagining those things were forming.
We called it just the mob. Lynch mob had to do with ropes and trees.
Okay, well, I didn't actually see ropes and trees, but I'm pretty sure that
pitchforks
there was a burning effigy in my image.
Oh, okay.
I mean, come on, it was Monday.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Yeah. it's come down to the fact that you before it was like never bring up religion or
politics. Yeah.
Now it's never bring up religion, politics, or the kind of phone you use. Because smartphones are in that category. They've become so personal and so
this dates back to the PC versus Mac.
This goes way beyond PC and Mac now. This thing is passed it on the highway. PC and Mac argument was hitchhiking on the highway.
Yeah.
And the smartphone wars just flew by, and a squadron of police cars are chasing it, and it's not even looking back. I made the joke one time on the lens wipe. I drew a cartoon where an Android person and an iPhone person were arguing over which phone was better. And in the distance, a guy wearing a Canon shirt and a guy wearing a Nikon shirt were looking over them. It was like, "Hey, Nikon, remember those were the days, huh?"
Yes.
And the Nikon guy says, "Shut up." And the Canon guy says, "I love you too, man." And the last panel is them holding hands. That's the world we live in now.
And this is an episode where Mark rants. All right.
Oh, can we make that a thing?
Oh, well, if we...
Because I haven't even touched on Siri.
Mark's pet peeve of the day or something like that. We can do something like that.
All right, let's do this. Play Let It Go.
Now playing Let There Be Love.
Let there be you. Let there be me.
Yeah.
You're always going to
have
that.
Hate you. I hate you, Siri.
I'm doing my best.
He's still playing that song.
You know, here's the part that bugs me. She knows that I'm saying let it go.
I know.
And I can't play that damn Disney song.
I didn't have the Disney song on my phone, and it says, "I don't have Let It Go."
I have it on my phone. I have it.
Mark, there's going to be a day where they fix Siri, and you're going to miss that.
I will never have that moment. Look, all I wanted to do is understand what I can't. I'm speaking English. There's no confusion. There's no confusion because she is showing me what I'm saying. Because of thanks to iOS 8, it displays what I'm saying.
Yes.
So there's no confusion. She's just being a real bitch about it and not playing the goddamn Disney song that's supposed to inspire me. Why? Why won't she play it?
And this has been therapy session for
We're not Mark. Done yet. Siri, do you hate Disney for some reason?
This is about you, not me.
Oh, bullshit. Bullshit. All right.
All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Now let's go ahead and move into post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right.
Happy thoughts.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and take this week. We haven't done a post pick of the week for the last 2 weeks because of Apple announcements and all that fun stuff. This is the part of the show where we go through our Instagram feed under the hashtag of Tiny Shutter and choose an image that becomes the album art for episode that we announce it in. And this week, I'm going to go with Sleepy Bell. He took a image of some flowers. And let's see what kind of flowers they are.
He doesn't How do you say know it was kind. A he?
Because it's a guy holding a iPhone, wearing a tie and a purple shirt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know Sleepy Bell's name or anything, but I'm assuming it's a guy.
That's Sleepy.
Yeah. There are a number of flowers in this image that he took, and I would say a majority of them are in focus, and then there's some in the background that are out of focus. It was a nice contrast because the rest of the plant has green leaves and it's dark behind it, so it accentuates the flowers, and I thought it turned out nice. What do you guys think?
I think it's a really great photo. That's really calming and relaxing at the moment.
You should ask Siri what she thinks.
No, I'm done with Siri right now.
He used ViscoCam and to take the shot, and it turned out great. So great job, Sleepy Bell. If you want your images featured for Post Pick of the Week, when you upload your images on Instagram, use the hashtag TinyShutter, and it will join the 24,000 plus other images that we have in there. I wonder, when did we start that hashtag? Was it when we started the show?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think it was
last week.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
So, I'd ask Siri, but she wouldn't.
Yeah. I do have to say I'm impressed with a lot of the images. It's hard sometimes to go and pick an image when there's so many good quality images in there. And sometimes we can look at an image and know exactly who took it because we've become familiar with our followers. And so I do have to say I'm impressed. So, all right. Is there anything you guys want to bring up before we end?
I apologize to Android users. Your phone is not as bad as Siri. You guys at least have a working AI.
How about you, Matt?
Not really. Sleepy Bell has a lot of really cool pictures, though.
Yeah.
In there. Instagram feed, so I'm going to follow Sleepy Bell.
Oh, good. Yeah, if you're if you do join Instagram, you know, look up Tiny Shutter Podcast and like it. We post the album art on that Instagram account. Also, go ahead and find us and you know, like our images, follow us, and let us know that you're listening to the show. I typically try to go through and, you know, find the new people on the Instagram account and follow them with my personal account so that I can see their images and get to know kind of a little bit about our followers. So go ahead, follow Mark, follow Matt, Shannon, and Maud, who's not here, and let us know that you're listening. We want to know. All right, well, let's go ahead and end this. Matt, tell the people where they can find you.
I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Mark.
Goddamn Siri. God damn it. you could find me huddled in the corner. I'm on Instagram, hashtag that Polish photographer, and I am mostly Marcus on Twitter.
Awesome. Shannon, are you there? You have to unmute yourself.
I'm here.
Oh, good. Tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at Shannon Guy Photo.
Cool. Was there anybody in the chat room?
No.
I'm sorry.
Our live feed is still relatively new, and it is Friday night. So
it is Friday night.
Exactly.
And you can find Maud Byrne on Instagram at Maud Byrne. You can find me on Instagram also at Joseph Ferreira, and follow Tiny Shutter Podcast and use the hashtag Tiny Shutter. We're also on Facebook on facebook.com/Tiny Shutter, and you can find our episodes and in the future we're going to start writing some articles. You can find that at tinyshutter.com. All right, Mark, let's go ahead and lead us out of here.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Except for Siri, who's not holding up her side of the bargain. Yeah, I'm
counseling session for Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to need one of those. Counseling session. Where's my Jack Daniels? He's usually pretty good.
All right. Lead us
there
out.
We go.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Hey Siri, tell Tim Cook that you're doing a really crappy job.
Ready to send it?
Wow.
Okay, let me know if there's anything else you need.